Hey everyone, and welcome to Ghost Stories and Ghouls. We have your co-hosts Greg and Dawson today.
What's up, guys?
That mic is moving on its own.
That was weird.
So today we're doing
interesting start to the podcast. So
yeah,
far.
We already got a ghost on the show. You know, beautiful.
Yeah, that was weird.
So we're starting off today with urban legends from the British Isles.
Swag.
Yes. So Scotland, Ireland, and England. I don't think any of these are from Wales.
Yeah, I was about to say.
So let's go ahead and roll the intro.
Lit.
All right. So today our first creature is going to be... Oh, wait. That's the wrong thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, beautiful. It's going to be the Dullahan. And the Dullahan comes from Ireland. And the Dullahan is depicted as a headless rider, usually on a black horse, who carries his own head on his arm. Usually the Dullahan is male, but there are some female versions, you know.
Yeah.
It is said to be the embodiment of the... Is it Celtic? It's Celtic, right? Yeah, the Celtic god Cromd...
Celtic.
Don't... All right, you know, some C's are S's. You know, I'm gonna name a kid with all C's, but they're pronounced as S's. So it's gonna be like Sally or something, but with a C.
With a C.
Yeah, they'll probably just call her Callie. Now that I think about it, yeah, never mind.
Yeah, no. Like, all the substitute teachers are just gonna have like a really
tough
weird
time.
Like day trip when, yeah, they call her Callie, and then she's like, actually, no, it's Sally, and they're just like, oh, my bad. That is not at all how it should be. Owned.
I can't. Another pronunciation thing.
What is
you
it?
You love to see it.
Yes.
It's Celtic god Cromdub, or Dub. It's D-U-B-H.
Do.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, the myth of the Dullahan comes from Ireland.
Yeah, good work.
And then here's some descriptions. It's the mouth is usually in a hideous grin that touches both sides of the head. Its eyes are constantly moving about and can see across the countryside even during the darkest nights. The flesh of the head is said to have the color and consistency of moldy cheese. Delicious.
Moldy cheese.
The Dullahan is believed to use the spine of a human corpse for a whip, and it's
same.
Yo. And its wagon is adorned with funeral objects. It has candles and skulls to light the way. The spokes of the wheels are made from thigh bones.
That's
and the
is.
Wagon's covering is made from dried human skin.
I respect the grind, honestly.
What so. Grind is there to respect, Dawson?
The grind.
That's not
he is simply trapping.
what are you, like, just... You know, taking people's body parts, that's the grudge now.
Yeah, dog, that's how it is. That's how it is some days. And you, I mean, you just got the respect on it. Like, he's been working, so, you know.
I respect it.
Yeah, honestly.
And then the ancient Irish believed that where the Dullahan stops riding, a person is due to die.
Yeah.
The Dullahan calls out a person's name, drawing away the soul of his victim, at which point the person immediately drops dead.
Classic.
Yeah, you gotta love being called out and then dying.
Yeah, honestly. It's not much you can do at that point, just, oh.
What would you do if that happened?
Honestly, you just got to hit like one final line, you know, just peace out, like maybe do try a backflip or something.
By one final, By one final line, I was like, you mean just like cocaine, bro? Like,
what? No, no. Yeah, no, just one final line to that good old Colombian bam, bam. you just got to be like, honestly... I never liked my wife and kids. Hit a backflip, and then you're just gone.
Just hit her with the, honey, I want a divorce, and then just die right there.
She's left in confusion and pain.
What? but, like...
That'd kind of be, like, a power play.
That's okay, not a power play.
If also. Someone ever did that, I mean...
Would you just respect it? You know, your wife is like, hey, yo, I want a divorce, and then
just
dies.
Dies. Like, bruh. I mean... Honestly, like,
what is that?
The balls on that man.
Just, I never really liked my wife and kids.
Owned. I'm out.
But the weakness is supposedly golden objects. And something that's interesting about this creature is that it doesn't normally kill you. Like, you might just die after seeing it. It's more like an omen. But it does whip out your eyes.
What?
With the spine? it just takes its spine whip and just, you know, out goes your eyes.
Yeah.
And here's some of it in pop culture. So it's a pretty popular character in Japanese video games and anime. Don't look at me like that, Dawson. And it's pretty similar to the Headless Horseman. They're not the same creature, but they have some similarities. And then the other thing I thought was interesting was, like, why was the headless, like, so prevalent in this urban legend? And at the time period, and mainly through a lot of Irish history, there's been a lot of martyred saints via beheading.
Interesting.
And the Celtics believed the soul lived in the head, and back in, like, ancient Celtic culture, it was very common for someone to, like, behead their enemy in war. Like, one king would behead the other one and be like, I've damaged or taken his soul.
Yeah.
So that could explain the headlessness that is, like, seen all over there. That's very common within this creature.
Interesting.
And then I have a story. One night, a man in Galway was on his way home when all of a sudden he heard the sound of a horse's hooves pounding along the road behind him. He turned around, and when he saw what emerged from the darkness, all he could do was stare in dread. It was the Dullahan. The man tried to run, but it was no use. Nothing can outrun the Dullahan. Desperate to escape, the man searched his pockets and found his gold wedding ring. He tossed it into the road and ran. There was a loud roar that split the silence of the night, and when he glanced back over his shoulder, he saw that the Dullahan was gone. Yeah, that was a story I found on a classic equine blog.
Nice.
Blog.wordpress.com. Yeah, check them out, you know?
Yeah, lit story.
Honestly, yeah, I'm just too lazy to just put credit somewhere else. I'm just going to say it.
Just going to drop the URL.
Yeah, I got you. Wait. I can't read. HTTPS.
backslash.
CLASSICEQUINEBLOG.wordpress.com/.
1877-cars-4-kids.
All right. Go into your thing. What's your first?
All right. So I got Banshee, also from Ireland. So. Yeah, that's it.
Beautiful.
A banshee is said to be a fairy in Irish legend, and her scream is believed to be an omen of death. The scream is also called cowing, which means kneeing, and is a warning that there will be imminent death in the family. And as the Irish families blended over time, it is said that each family has its own banshee, which is kind of interesting. I thought that was kind of weird, but kind of cool.
Isn't, like, dependent on the last name, like, certain families have banshees, right?
Yeah.
It's like for Mac or mm-hmm. Mick or O.
Yeah.
O'Keefe.
O'Flannery. And yeah, so a banshee is a disembodied spirit and can appear in any of these following forms. One is a beautiful woman in a shroud.
Nice.
Two, a pale woman in a white dress with long red hair.
Nice.
Three, a woman with long silver dress and silver hair.
Nice.
Four, a headless woman carrying a bowl of blood that is naked from the waist up.
All right, that's not so nice, I'm being honest.
Five, an old woman with frightening red eyes, a green dress, and long white hair.
All right, okay, I'm going to stop you. So they went from being just, like, normal people to just, yeah. Who got the banshee that's behead? Honestly,
depends on your family.
Good thing I'm not Irish, I guess.
Yeah, Greek boy. And then six, and the final form, is an old woman with a veil covering her face, dressed in all black with long gray hair. If I see that, I'm probably crapping myself.
How are you not crapping yourself with the headless one?
That one, yes, is scary, but if I ever see a person with a veil covering her face, dressed in all black, with just, like, the only feature being silver hair, that, in my opinion, is more scary than a headless, like, was it headless?
Yeah.
Yeah, headless woman carrying a bowl of blood.
Yo, you gonna take a sip, though? Like, is she gonna let you drink some of that?
Maybe. Bro, what? True.
Very true. Do you have any stories?
I'm just going to talk a little bit more about the history. I don't have any stories, but...
All right.
Yeah, I mean, there's no, like... There's not tons of significant stories. I mean, yes, there is, but, like... There's also, you know, decent accounts of Banshees, like, all over. So I'm going to talk about kind of the history and, like...
Yeah.
Describing more of her. Mm. So... Historians have traced the first stories of the Banshee to the 8th century, which were based on a tradition where a woman sang a sorrowful song to lament someone's death. To lament someone's death, my bad. These women were known as Nyrs, and since they accepted alcohol as payment, they were said to be sinners and punished by being doomed to become Banshees, which is where they originated. According to the mythology of the Banshee, if she is spotted, she will vanish into a cloud of mist, and this action creates a noise similar to that of a bird flapping its wings. Legend says that Banshees don't cause death, they only serve as a warning of it. Which is interesting. That's where the origin came from. And over time, that's been, you know, kind of warped and stuff to where the Banshee is the last thing you will ever see. Some believe it kills you, but some believe that, like it says, it's just a warning. So, yeah. And then... Other Irish mythology stories relating to the Banshee say that she is a ghost of a young girl that suffered a brutal death, and her spirit remains to warn family members that a violent death is imminent. It is said that the Banshee appears as an old woman with rotten teeth and long fingernails. She wears a rag and has blood-red eyes that are filled with hate that look directly into them will cause immediate death. This Banshee's mouth is always open as her piercing scream torments the souls of the living.
Okay, yeah, that's where, like, the scream comes from, yeah. Right? Okay.
The old hag one.
Also, speaking of, like, the fingernail, you've seen, like, the, like, Guinness World Record, like, yeah. Longest finger, bro.
Scary.
How do they just do things, like?
Dude, I don't know. Like, you couldn't even, like, use your phone at that point.
You can even, like, open a door, bro. Like, is it heavy, do you think? Is it hard to, like, lift your hand?
It'd be like having, like, rulers taped to the edge of your fingers.
And do they get money for that?
I think just the glory and fame of having a Guinness World Record.
Yeah, but like...
Yeah.
Was it worth it?
And so, according to some tales, there are evil Banshees that derive pleasure from taking a life, which is where that gets warped into Banshee's killing. And they actively seek out their victims and wail at them to the point where the person commits suicide or goes insane. Oh. There are even Banshees that can tear people to shreds, and these horrific... ghosts are what feature in modern day horror films. It's important to note that Banshees do not bring death. However, they warn of it and give the family time to prepare for the inevitable.
Yeah, you cannot diss me for mispronunciation after that.
Yeah, no, we're not going to talk about that one.
It was beautiful.
Apparitions. I don't know why that caught me so off guard.
You know, big words scary.
Yeah. Monkey me? Brain, like, small word. Yes. Ghost, good word. Apparition, bad.
Nice.
Kong enthusiasts.
I like Godzilla.
I'm sorry. Are we really going to debate this right now?
I mean, this is legends. They both legends.
True.
I mean.
However, you can't disagree. To quote Nolte, Kong going to be like, ooh, monkey punch, owned.
No, because Godzilla got, like, that drip, you know? He's essentially just a radioactive lizard.
Yeah, but Kong, swag monkey.
He literally has poison damage built into his
swag
body.
Swag monkey.
I mean, you got a point. He dripped out, but...
Yeah.
I guess we're going to... Is that movie out yet?
No, I don't think so. We're all going to go see it in theaters.
Yeah,
and
we
then,
all
like,
got to go see it.
Whenever they do anything, we all just erupt and go insane. Yeah.
You think theaters will be open by then?
We will rent a theater.
Just the whole theater?
They don't cost that much, I don't think. And we could all pitch in. I think it's like $150 to rent out a theater.
All right, wait. I'm going to tap against the table and it's going to sound super freaky. Wait.
And welcome back to Stories and Ghouls. All right, yeah, that's all the stuff I have on Banshee.
I almost broke the table. Okay.
Yeah.
Fire.
Classic.
So the next legend that I'm going to do is the... Let's hope I don't say this wrong. Nuklavi, which is Nuklavi? Nuklevi. So the Nuklevi is a horse-like demon from Orcadian mythology, which is like northern Scotland, I think. It's like really close to the sea. Like, you know where Scotland is?
Yep.
Scotland.
Scotland, bro!
So you went from Scottish to British in one sentence.
Yeah. Also, we should have talked about the Loch Ness Monster. We're idiots.
We got more episodes, bro. We can come back.
You want to talk about, like, in like some later episodes, like, the most famous mythology creatures ever to exist?
Yeah, I mean, we can go back. We can go back to just, like, because for that, we can talk about, like, the hunts.
I got you.
Like, when people, like, the crazes, where everyone was, like, going after him, we can talk about different creatures from that.
Also, just based off that voice, I think I should be the intros to, like, the History Channel at 3 a.m. Catching Bigfoot tonight at 3 a.m. We'll watch as Dr. Bigfoot catches Bigfoot. So epic.
Have you seen the rogue planet crashing to Earth? That's just Saturn.
Yes.
The rogue planet will destroy the entire Earth. It's like, how did Saturn?
Saturn is the rogue planet. Watch yourselves.
But it's from Orcadian mythology, and it comes out of the sea. So it just, like, it lives in the ocean, and it just, like, just comes out of the sea.
Swag!
And the only thing that can control it is the ancient spirit Mither o' the Sea, and she restrains it during the summer months. So during the summer, this creature just, like, stays underneath the sea because it's, like, being held back by Mither o' the Sea.
Wintertime.
Yeah, and then another ancient spirit, Taran, battles the Mither of the Sea for control of the ocean, and Mither of the Sea always loses. In the winter and fall, she's always losing this battle. And then in the spring, she starts winning it again. And then she, yeah. And
well, to her defense, no one likes fighting in the cold.
I mean, that's facts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Practice yesterday was so bad in the cold.
Dude, practice today, it's a casual 32 outside and windy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great time.
And then after Taran wins, he lets the Nuklevi do what it wants to. And essentially, its breath can wilt crops and sicken livestock. Mm. It's normally blamed for many natural disasters such as droughts and epidemics, and its weaknesses are fresh water and burning seaweed. Which interestingly enough, kelp burning was or like kelp was a big industry in Scotland.
Yeah.
At this time period in Scotland. And well, what happened is you burn seaweed, and what that, like, ash that's left behind is kelp.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, like, the type of seaweed. It's, like, a different thing.
Yeah.
And that was a big industry at the time. And it's thought to be a mixture of Celtic and Norse mythology because Scotland was the northern area. It was very prone to Scandinavian influence by them constantly being there.
Mm-hmm.
And a description of the Nuklevi is essentially a horse with one eye.
Oh.
Then there's half of a person, like the top half, is mounted on the horse's back. It's completely skinless. And the man's arms go all the way down to the ground.
Bro, that is absolutely horrifying.
You gotta love Scotland.
My god. That is actually so scary.
Yeah, I'll pull up a picture.
Imagine
actually.
You just turn around in the winter and just eat that. Like,
you're like,
bro,
you're already cold, all right? You already hate yourself because, you know, you got no food.
True.
You're chilling, and then you turn around and it's just that. And it's like,
does it make a specific sound? Like, does it screech, or is it just like,
yeah,
yo, what up, guys?
It has a roar.
Jesus Christ, that's terrifying.
I'm trying to find a good photo. Well, this is probably the best photo I can find.
That's so scary.
Yeah,
we'll link that on the website.
That might be our cover photo. Actually, no, our cover photo is going to be this one, which is like one of the drawings.
Yeah, I see.
It's kind of sick.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we'll link them both. But that's actually horrifying.
Yeah. It frightens me to my very core.
Ugh.
And then I also have a story for this one as well.
Oh, yay.
Because I'm sick.
True.
And this is a story from the website Orkneyjar.
Goodness.
All right. And this is like essentially a dude that, this is like a firsthand account of a guy that ran into a Nuklevi. Oh man, this is kind of long. Thomas, like his namesake Tam O'Shanter, was out late one night. It was, though moonless, a fine starlit night. Thomas's road lay close by the seashore as he entered a part of the road that was hemmed in one side by the sea, and on the other side by a deep freshwater lock. He saw some huge object in front of him moving towards him. What was he to do? He was sure it was no earthly thing that was steadily coming towards him. He could not go to either side and turn his back to an evil thing. He'd heard. Was the most dangerous position of all. So Tammy said, he just changed his name. Tammy said to himself, the Lord be a boot me and tak care o me as I oot on no evil intent this night.
Ooh.
Tammy was always regarded as rough and foolhardy. Anyway, he determined as the best of two evils to face the foe and so walked resolutely, yet slowly forward. He soon discovered to his horror that the gruesome creature approaching him was no other than the dreaded Nuklevi, the most cruel and malignant of all uncanny beings that troubled mankind. The lower part of this terrible monster, as seen by Tammy, was like a great horse with flappers like fins about his legs, with a mouth as wide as a whale's, which from came breath like steam from a brewing kettle. He had but one eye, and that was as red as fire.
Classic.
On him sat, or rather seemed to grow from his back, a huge man with no legs and arms that reached nearly to the ground. His head was as big as a clue of Simmons, and this huge head kept rolling from one shoulder to the other as if it meant to tumble off.
So why did he go near this?
Well, the reason is...
Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. But what to Tammy appeared most horrible of all was that the monster was skinless, this utter want of skin adding much to the terrific appearance of the creature's naked body, the whole surface of it showing only red, raw flesh, in which Tammy saw blood, black as tar, running through yellow veins, and great white sinews, thick as horse tethers, twisting, stretching, and contracting as the monster moved.
God.
Tammy went slowly on in mortal terror, his hair on end, a cold sensation like a film of ice between his scalp and his skull, and a cold sweat bursting from every pore. But he knew it was useless to flee, and he said if he had to die, he would rather see who killed him than die with his back to the foe.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, but I expect it.
Yeah, that's just horrifying.
In all his terror, Tammy remembered what he had heard of Nuklevi's dislike of fresh water, and therefore took that side of the road nearest to the lock. The awful moment came when the lower head of the monster got abreast of Tammy. The mouth of the monster yawned like a bottomless pit. Tammy found its hot breath like fire on his face. The long arms were stretched out to seize the unhappy man. To avoid, if possible, the monster's clutch, Tammy swerved as near as he could to the lock. In doing so, some of his feet went into the lock, splashing up some water on the foreleg of the monster. Whereat the horse gave a snort like thunder and shied over to the other side of the road. And Tammy felt the wind of the Nuklevi's clutches as he nearly escaped the monster's grip. Tammy saw his opportunity and ran with all of his might, and sore need had he to run. For Nuklevi had turned and was galloping after him, and bellowing with a sound like the roaring of the sea. In front of Tammy lay a rivulet, which through the surplus water of the lock found its way to the sea. And Tammy knew if he could only cross the running water, he was safe, so he had strained every nerve. As he reached the near bank, another clutch was made at him by the long arms. Tammy made a desperate spring and reached the other side, leaving his bonnet in the monster's clutches. Nuklevi gave it a wild, unearthly yell of disappointed rage as Tammy fell senseless on the safe side of the water. And that's that story.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah, honestly, like, I understand the face your foe thing, but, like, straight up, I would just, like...
Run.
All right, well, first, we're missing a few steps. So, you know, you turn around, you see this thing. pee in your pants just immediately, just like straight up.
I think step one might be optional.
It might not be if I'm being straight up with you. Like, honestly, you see a giant skinless, I don't even know, demonic
horse child.
Horse man with long arms that can definitely grab you and a head that's like too big for its shoulders. I ain't messing with it, bro.
Well, yeah, neither am I, but all right, continue.
I'm honestly, maybe he just like wanted like a hug or something, you know?
Skinless hug.
Actually, I don't get why. Wouldn't that like sting though? Because it lives in the ocean. So like, think about all that salt water. Maybe that's why it's so upset.
It is a demon, urban legend, ghost.
Yeah.
Man killer. I don't think it really cares about salt water. If not, it uses that pain to fuel its rage.
But yeah, another thing that's interesting about this creature is that it's also solitary. Like, it's by itself.
Yeah.
Which is not very common in a lot of horse-like creatures in Scottish mythology. Normally, they, like, are in packs, so there's multiple of them. There's only one. But it...
Seahorse.
There was, like, a... there was a... I just burped. Yeah, there was a... I don't remember what the disease is called, but there was like a big issue. There was like a big problem where a bunch of horses died, and that like one of the that was something that the Nuklevi was blamed on.
Oh really?
Yeah. But you know, when the area when the seaweed business, the kelp making business, was kind of like kind of disappeared in the area. That's when like you saw this story and like the belief in it start to decline.
Oh.
Which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
All right, you got one more, right?
Yep, I got Black Dog.
Black Dog.
From Britain.
Nice.
Indeed. So, these monstrous black dogs with glowing red eyes have spooked and intrigued people for centuries. There are so many stories of these dogs around Britain.
Is it like the Hound of Baskerville? Like the Sherlock Holmes?
Yeah. And it's also just, like, tons of us. Basically, any, like, black dog people see goes into these stories.
So, like...
I'll read you, but there's, like, 35 different names later. What is that? What are you doing? Unease. But, yeah, so, the black dog takes many forms, but they often have one thing in common. They are, of course, black, and they often have abnormally large with shaggy coats and have glowing, enormous eyes. But curious variations abound. There are dogs who drag chains from their necks. There are dogs with no heads. There are dogs with human faces.
No heads?
Yep. There are dogs who dissolve into the mist, dogs the size of houses, and dogs who walk on their hind legs, which is a little creepy. So... tales of these black dogs date back centuries. The earliest record appearance in English literature that the scientist Norman, who has done tons of studies on these black dogs.
Ah, yes, Norman.
Good old Norman. has found is from 1127 year. Are we AD
or BC? So
1127. I'm totally blanking.
We're
AD, correct?
We're AD. Yep, we are not before Christ.
My mind is here today.
It's devolving.
Yeah. There are plenty of reasons that people tell black dog stories. Some of those stories were probably constructed to keep children away from dangerous places, but many black dog stories can be attributed to smugglers who wanted to keep interlopers away from their coastal smuggling routes. Smugglers were fond of inventing all sorts of scary stories to keep pests away. Some of these stories of smugglers painting the body of unlucky horse with luminous paint in order to convince townspeople that a particular road was haunted by a headless horse and coach was very common. So that's where a lot of people attribute the beginning of the black dog stories to come from. And they often would find rabid dogs and just tie them up to trees on these smuggling routes, which is just... so scary.
So does this share some similarities with the chupacabra, where it's like people would just find rabid dogs and be like, all right, let's kill it, and just nothing else?
Kind of. But like for the black dog, it was more like the smugglers were just like, oh, rabid dog, we're going to tie you to a tree and leave here till you die, but you're just going to scare the living crap out of people that come down this road.
I just realized like what you meant by tying to a tree, and my idea of tying to a tree was completely different.
So what were you thinking?
Like, cause you know, are you saying like they put it on a leash and tied it to a tree?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking like they straight up like crucified the dog on the
no,
tree.
No, oh my god.
I was like, why would they do that?
Jeez. But no. So like they'd have some on the paths of the road that would like dart out, and you can only get this far and scare people. But then they'd have some like. Because oftentimes, you know, the places around some of these roads weren't developed as much, and they'd have, you know, groves of trees. So they'd tie them to trees in the middle. And since the dogs were black, the people walking down the roads would have a hard time seeing them and, like, the dense treeage around. So they'd just hear these horrifying barks because the dog could see them, but for the most part, they could not see the dog. Yeah, it was just all sorts of creepy. And so some better-known black dogs of Backhurst, Yorkshire, Black Shook, East Anglia, and other towns. Here are some of the names of them. Harry, Jack, Padfoot, Striker, Churchyard Beast, Shug Monkey, Capel Rate, Moddy Doo. Oh, sorry. Mothy Doog. Well, actually, there's two. Hateful Thing, Sooning Shadow, Boogie Beast, Guy Trash, or Gutrash. Ode Road Ogan or Flanders, Tubensinia, and Dip.
What are you saying? You're just like, and Dip.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man, it's Dip. And you just like a dog tied to a tree.
Yo, what up, guys? I'm Dip. We're chilling. It's me and Shug Monkey.
Yes. What is with these names, man? Like,
I don't
who came
even
up
know.
With these? Shug, what was the it? Boogie
folk.
Beast?
Yeah. Boogie Beast. We also have Guy Trash.
Guy Trash. marvelous.
And then, Ode the Rogue Ogan.
Ode the Rogue Ogan.
Or Flanders.
Just Flanders. What is with these? Some of these names are just like weird.
Random
like
names, and then oh, you can also say it, Flanders.
Or you can just show Dip. It's just nothing else.
And yeah, so the Church Grim is not of Backhurst or Shook. It can also take the form of a large black dog. So Church Grim is a very famous one, and a lot of people attribute most black dogs to Church Grim, which is interesting.
So
and
where is Church Grim?
So, basically, that is the most known black dog name. Like, it's kind of all over, and it's not specifically to Backhurst or Shook, because there have been, you know, quote-unquote reports of it all over. So, some people have claimed that black dogs are actually leopards or pumas that roam England, and some think that black dogs are actually a hallucination caused by a dream state, which is interesting.
I mean, it could be the same thing as, like, it. Well, what? When did the black dog first, like, show up?
1127.
So it could be that weird, because that was, like, what people used to explain witchcraft.
Yeah.
There's a certain fungus that grows on rye. So they were eating the rye bread in Salem.
Yeah.
And it was making them trip out.
Yeah.
And they would be like, whoa, what is, the walls are moving. So that could.
Why do I have three hands?
And then they'd be like, there's a witch somewhere. And they would just point to the closest person and be like, all right, you did something. Get out of here.
And by here, we mean life.
Yeah, just get out.
But yeah, so these black dogs are just terrifying dogs that disappear into the mist, sometimes can be headless, have red glowing eyes, and just most of the time rabid. They're quite terrifying.
So, like, it's just basically The Hound of Baskerville. Did you ever read that book?
No.
I read, like, half of it.
Good?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I just, like, got bored.
Fair.
You know.
All right, yeah, that's kind of all I have. There's, yeah. I mean, black dog is just kind of like when you see a scary black dog, you're like, oh, LOL, black dog.
It's like Mad City.
Basically.
Swag. Yeah, Britain
England is strange. I mean, like, straight up, like...
Taken out of context. Just, yeah. Yo, England is strange.
Yo, straight up, England? Strange. But yeah, when I was in London... Have you been to London before?
Yeah, I have.
Have you been to the... It's not like the Crows or the Ravens. You know what I'm talking about? The Tower of London?
Yeah.
London Tower, something like that?
We're gonna I think it's something else.
Yep, I know my English...
But yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Tower of London is what it is, and there's like ravens everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought of that.
Good work.
Yeah, it was kind of nice. Besides, like, the ravens were kind of scary, because, you know, they'd be like...
Itachi.
Ka-ka! Oh. Yeah, that's crows.
Yeah.
Group of crows is called a murder.
True.
Stabs Dawson. All right, well, all right, that's all for today. We'll see y'all.
See you guys.